Hey, Dr. Richard Lusberg, and welcome back to the Psychology of Sports. Friday, December 7th, and the holiday season is in full swing. People are celebrating Hanukkah currently, and certainly Christmas season is also quite near. Although mild in this part of the Northeast, people are buying trees, shopping, and out having a good time, and I hope you all are. Anyway, today we're going to talk about a little bit about the NFL and the NFC East, and maybe a little bit about the NFL and some more in general. So, at first, we're going to go down to and talk about the New York Giants. Whoa, everybody's calling for Tom Coughlin's head, and poor Tom. Actually, when you take a look at the Giants, the Giants are basically a staid, a conservative, consistent, loyal organization that values those qualities and character over all things. And certainly Tom Coughlin has been that. And the idea that it's time for a change, for just change sake, because the Giants are in their fourth or fifth losing season. I really don't actually keep count, nor do I actually care. The press here is talking about the fact that he's a qualified guy, but they need a new voice. I totally disagree. Actually, when you have those qualities, which are very good, loyalty, commitment, you name it, character, all the things that the Giants like about Coughlin, besides the fact that he's won two Super Bowls and is an outstanding coach and represents the organization, and they are loathsome to make change in any area, that actually can be a negative because it doesn't let you look outside the box. And the Giants really are not an outside-the-box organization. Again, as I said, they're a very predictable organization, doesn't like change, doesn't like conflict, doesn't like drama. And who doesn't want that, especially when you've got two Super Bowls over that period of time and that formula has worked for them for a very, very long time. However, in this instance, it's going to hurt them. They really should be looking to let go Jerry Reese. That would be very creative. Because let me tell you why. First, it would allow Tom Coughlin to stay on the next year and transition a new general manager. General managers, when they come in, they want their own coaches. So that would mean if you're going to stay with Jerry Reese and he's hiring a coach, you're committing to Reese for a while. And that suggests that, you know, the coach that he hires along with the Maras and not so much Atish's, the Maras call the football shots, is going to be around for a while because you don't really want to turn over the general manager slightly after that, and nor do you want to clean house with both Coughlin and Reese. I think that would be way too much. I think the Giants would have a freaking heart attack. And it's probably so with their fans. It's just way out of character for the Giants. So a more creative thing would be to let Jerry Reese go, transition, help that Coughlin transition the new general manager to the organization so you'd have some stability with Coughlin, who definitely can still coach. And at the end of the day, if it doesn't work out after the first year, Coughlin goes, new general manager stays, begins to get his imprint on the organization immediately with Coughlin, and then chooses his coach. That's the way I would go if I were the New York Giants. Is that going to happen? Probably not. Unfortunately, Coughlin's going to take the fall for this. Do I see that as something that's necessary? No, I don't. When you're given the kind of quality players that Coughlin has, there's nobody on the Giants that anybody would take on the offensive side of the ball other than Manning and Beckham. On the defensive side of the ball, maybe JPP. Other than that, I don't think that anybody would want anybody in the Giants roster. And that, folks, speaks totally for itself. I'll be right back as we go down to the down the turnpike to the Philadelphia Eagles and Chip Kelly, he of the suddenly contending Eagles in the NFC East. What's happening down in Philly and all through the NFC East. What a mess, but at least it makes for exciting football. I'll be right back. Dr. Richard Lusberg back with the Psychology of Sports, Friday, December 11th. Wow. Christmas is going to be upon us. I know people are going to parties. It's a, boy, spending money. The streets are busy. I hope you're enjoying your holiday and holiday season. We've been talking about the NFC East and the NFL in general. It's been a great season so far overall. Right now, if I had to pick a team, I know everybody's hot on the Panthers, and how could you not be? Cam Newton has really come into his own. To say the least, he's become an accurate pocket passer. He has not been a running quarterback like he used to be before. He doesn't take off as often. He hangs in there. He's a big boy, to say the least, and can take a lot of punishment. Right now, I'm kind of liking the Arizona Cardinals. I like the way they look all the way around. That defense is a terrific defense, and the offense is a very balanced attack. They've lost some running backs, but haven't seemed to be affected by that. Carson Palmer, I think, is ready to step to the next level. It's going to be interesting to see which team emerges out of the NFC East and the AFC. I'm sorry, the NFC and the AFC, and see who meets in the Super Bowl. But that's all coming up and more. But first, which losing team is going to come out of the NFC East? And let's go down to Philadelphia with Chip Kelly. Chip Kelly came into the league, and he was going to revolutionize the entire NFL. And, it was going to be more fun than a barrel of monkeys. And that's what I said at the time. Oh, he was going to change the game. We're going to have these running quarterbacks, read option, speed of play, yada, yada, yada. And you know what? Bill Belichick, I think, benefited most from Chip Kelly, because actually he picked Chip Kelly's mind about how to run this offense. And New England can get pretty quick to the line, to say the least, and get that ball off. As for Kelly, he's had some moderate success down in Philadelphia, but he really hasn't brought home the bacon. He won a power struggle in the offseason. He has a quarterback that I don't really think much of, quite frankly. He's got two quarterbacks that I don't think actually much of, and he got rid of Macklin and McCoy, and I don't really know why he did that. The big dude from Dallas hasn't really been working out. He doesn't seem to be fitting into that offense, and I don't know why he signed him, per se, and doesn't seem to, again, fit their offensive scheme. And spoke with the owner, I heard, and this to express his displeasure and such. But Chip Kelly pretty much has it all going his way. For how long, we don't know. But one thing I do want to say about Kelly is that while he isn't innovative, there's no doubt about it, he didn't revolutionize the game of football, folks. You know, he didn't make up football. He didn't invent the game. What he did do is integrated into the game. What Chip Kelly has done is what has been integrated in. Teams now understand how to defend the read option. The NFL is a game of adjustments, and teams adjust to this kind of type of play. Quarterbacks are getting their brains beaten out when they run out of the pocket. Take a look at RG3. RG3 was going to be the next thing since I guess the building of the pyramids. And RG3 is standing on the sidelines, soon to be out of Washington. Similarly, Colin Kaepernick is soon to be out of the 49ers. Neither one of them has won a Super Bowl trophy, although Kaepernick had some success under Harbaugh once they let Harbaugh go. That 49er team came tumbling down, to say the least, and he will not be back with the 49ers next year, and he'll have time to resurrect his career. He's a big, strong boy, but he doesn't necessarily, from what I understand and observed, have the greatest, highest football IQ. The only one of the three quarterbacks that came in is Russell Wilson. Obviously, he did win a Super Bowl, but Wilson certainly is not an elite quarterback compared to, like I said, Carson Palmer. Are you talking about Eli Manning? You're talking about, you know, a ton of quarterbacks in the NFL that you take over Russell Wilson, to say the least. The quarterback of the Green Bay Packers, actually, it's eluding Aaron Rodgers. Actually, was eluding me for the moment. I take Aaron Rodgers over him. I take Ben Roethlisberger on it. Over him, I take a ton of quarterbacks over Russell Wilson, and they're all standing in the pocket quarterbacks with mobility. So I'm not a real big Russell Wilson fan. He did win a Super Bowl, but in terms of Chip Kelly, until Chip wins a Super Bowl, he can innovate, he could excavate, he could do whatever he wants, but he ain't doing nothing just yet. And what Kelly brought to the NFL, he's brought, like I said, the run, read option, pace of game, and a whole other things that other teams seem to be using a lot better than he is. like I said, some of his personnel decisions, well, let's see what happens. He's, I think, third year in, and he's done absolutely nothing. We'll be right back in a second. This is Dr. Richard Lustberg with the Psychology of Sports, and we'll be right back. I'm going to take us down to Washington, D.C., and talk just a little bit more about RG3 and the Washington Redskins. Hi, Dr. Richard Lustberg, back with the Psychology of Sports, Friday, December 11th. We've been talking a little about the NFC East and football in general. Took a quick look at the Giants and Tom Coughlin. Took a quick look at the Eagles and the situation with Chip Kelly and also DeMarco Murray, who didn't seem to be a good fit, or doesn't seem to be a good fit for Kelly's system. God knows why he chose him. Only Chip Kelly knows, and sometimes Chip Kelly, I think, thinks he is a football god. We discussed Chip Kelly's attributes that he did bring to the NFL. I want to swing down to the Washington Redskins, and as I alluded to early in the show, RG3 was, I thought, believe me, that when RG3 came into the league, that he was going to be, according to people, the new age quarterback until he ruined his knee, got hit by linebackers and safeties and took a ton of shots. And basically, at a young age, his career is kind of up in the air. He never learned how to read defenses. Jay Gruden has switched over to Kirk Cousins. Monday night's game between the Cowboys and between the Cowboys and the Redskins, let me get that right, reminded me of two old fighters, you know, who make for an exciting game, you know, when they lose their abilities and capacity to slip punches, they tend to take a lot of shots, and that's what happened really on Monday night. It was a horrible football game, but back and forth and back and forth with between two teams that are really very ordinary teams and mistake prone. Again, I think people are so eager here. The point being is people are so eager for change. When you look at Kelly and you look at RG3 and the quarterbacks, people are so eager for change, and it's heralded as the development of warp speed and the cure for all illnesses, and when in fact it's not. But I think that people don't realize that most new things are absorbed into and integrated into what has already existed, and that's really the beauty of ongoing, you know, development of anything, whether it be football or anything else, that when something new comes along, how does it push the field further, further the advancement, the thinking in a field, and certainly Kelly has done that, and the idea of this read option has certainly done that, and has challenged his defenses, and has brought something new to the game, has it revolutionized the game? It absolutely has not done that. So, you know, when you look a little bit about, or talk a little bit about what's going on in football and where it's going, it's certainly, I heard it made $25 billion last year. It owns Sunday. It is an extremely exciting sport. Actually, it came over that I think FanDuel and DraftKings actually were banned in New York. Good thing, because when you're fixing the pool and, parimutuel betting, can't be until they can show that they can secure and lock down inside information. I think you ought to all watch your money. I get a lot of solicitations for advertisements on these Psychology of Sports. A lot of them do have to do with betting. I don't take them for just that reason. I don't bet on football, but I certainly do and see how you could. I think fantasy football has evolved to really what nobody thought it could be. It's a billion-dollar industry, and it allows you really to be your own GM. And with modern technology, I think it's a fantastic thing, to say the least. I mean, really, going forward, I don't see it coming to an end, actually. I think it probably even ramping up more. I think you're going to be betting on microscopic things. You're going to be betting on plays and you name it, down to the most minute thing. Well, anyway, this has been Dr. Richard Lustberg on the Psychology of Sports, talking a little bit about the NFL East on this Friday, December 11th, as we move towards a very balmy winter so far. Well, it's not really winter yet, but certainly December in the Northeast region, a corridor. I've certainly enjoyed that. Haven't had to take out the winter jacket yet. Hope you haven't as well. In terms of the NFL, I'll be back really, I think, on Sunday morning. I'm going to try to come back on Sunday morning with my can't miss picks. If you've taken a look at my picks in the past, I think I've done exceptionally well. Talk about betting and predictability. I certainly wouldn't go with my picks, although I've got a great record, say the least. Certainly in the playoffs the last 2 years, I've done exceptionally well. And if you want to hear about my week, whatever, the 16, 17, 18, I don't go by weeks, folks. I go by, who's in first place and how many games are left. That's the way I kind of think about it. Well, anyway, I'll see you Sunday morning. The Psychology of Sports with Dr. Richard Lusberg, and I'll see you then.